Hallelujah. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If you got a Bible, you can write it in. You want to underline or circle that scripture. And they lifted up their voices, the voices that they had left. They lifted it up. I wonder, can I get somebody to lift up a voice right now? Now, we got to do better than that to fill this building. Come on, let me hear you. All right. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, everybody say one of them. How many? How many? That's all it takes is one. One can spark a forest fire. You know that, right? All it takes is one person. I was waiting on one, and one didn't do it. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Everybody say, and one. Everybody say, and one. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, after he noticed something, everybody look around. Do you notice anything yet? Okay, so after he noticed what had happened, after he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Now, you notice verse 13, it says they lifted up their voices. But then it said when he noticed that he was healed, he lifted up a loud voice and glorified God. Come on, somebody. This is a contrast. This means that when they initially lifted up a voice, it wasn't loud. But after he saw that he was healed, he lifted up a loud voice. Somebody say amen. And glorified God. And then he fell down on his face. When he fell down on his face, what was he doing, y'all? It's called worship. Worship is a posture. He fell down on his face. Whoo, God. And he gave him thanks, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, Jesus took notice. Jesus notices, and God does too. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. He said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made you whole. I want to talk for the third time. I don't know if we're getting it yet. I may stay on this for a long time till we can get it. But I want to talk about what to do after God comes through. What do you do after God? Everybody say after. See, the world knows what to do the morning after. You know, it's a lot of morning and after stuff that the world does. They have hangovers. Come on, somebody. They got Plan B pills. Hello. They got the walk of shame. Hello. Yeah, they know what to do after the devil done cursed them. But the people of God don't actually know what to do after God has blessed them. And we're going to talk about that again today. You may be seated. Y'all, it's not going to take me long today. Amen. And I want to say thank you for everybody that gave me Father's Day cards and Cash Apps and all that. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us today. And we want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And then we have a gift for all the fathers as you leave today. And I was going to talk to the fathers, and I had a Father's Day message called the Mistakes Not to Make as a Father. I was going to talk to you about some of the mistakes I made, and biblical fathers made a lot of mistakes in the Bible, and we were going to talk about all of that, and I just couldn't get there with it, y'all, because I was still on fire for this message, because we have just made what kind of a transition? I can't hear nobody. I can't hear nobody. This is huge. This is huge. This is huge. Somebody say amen. And if you don't know, let me tell you, this is huge. What God has done for us. Amen. And I just want to keep saying it because I don't want us to get used to it. Somebody say amen. You know, God blessed us with a house. I don't know if y'all remember. We talked about it, the Hurricane Harvey story, how we lost everything. And he gave us a house on the lake. You know, every time I drive up to the lake, to that house, y'all, and look at it, you know, I thank God. Every morning I get up, I give God some thanks. I haven't gotten used to it yet. Somebody say amen. Touch somebody and say, don't get used to the blessings of God. Somebody didn't do it. Touch somebody else and say, don't get used to the blessings of God. That's a sure way to get them to stop. You ever wonder why God does something and it looks like everything's going, you got momentum, and then it all of a sudden stops? Well, I'm going to tell you, one of the reasons may be, it might be because you don't have the right response after God comes through. I don't think nobody ever taught people really how to respond after God comes through. After you prayed and you've got the answer to the prayer, what should you do? Somebody say amen. Let me start with a couple of statements. God does answer prayer. I got three amens on that. Let me say that again. God does answer prayer. Come on, somebody. God still does work miracles. How many of y'all know that we serve a miracle working God? Come on, if Rance Allen was here, he said he's a miracle worker. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know God still does miracles? God still cures incurable diseases. Come on, somebody. God can still make a way when there is no way. He's a bridge. Come on, somebody. Over troubled water. And the old people used to sing a song, trouble don't last always. How many of y'all know trouble comes to an end? How many of y'all know that sometime it's over? Come on, somebody. Come on, come on. I think God's probably sung as they say, it's over now. I feel like I can make it. It's over now. Somebody say amen. But what do I do after God comes through? Now, I'm going to tell you, this can be the difference between you having one miracle here, and then 10 years later, you having another miracle, and then the sprinkle blessing, or you having a momentum, you having a tsunami, a tidal wave of blessings that just keep coming and flowing and flowing and flowing, and you keep winning and winning and winning and winning, and you keep getting blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed, and you stay on top, on top, on top, on top. Come on, somebody. That's the difference. Is the response. My coach, when we played football, you know, we win a game, and he was almost like a killjoy sometimes, because he was like, okay, y'all, now, you know we got another opponent next week. And he wanted us to have the proper response. Sometimes when teams, you know, they blow a team out or something, they start thinking, man, we the best and we ain't got to practice and we ain't got to do that. No. He want us to have the proper response. Somebody say amen. Amen. Yeah, that game is over. We won. But you should have the proper response so that you can keep the winning streak going. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so often we have the wrong reaction when God comes through. Yeah. We talked about this last week. I preached a message years ago called The Law of Reaction. I'm going to restate some of those points because it's so good. I like to hear it. It reinforces what I already know. Many people have a fear when they deal with people, whether it's trusting a friend, getting romantically involved with somebody. How many of y'all ever had a roommate and was side-eyeing, moving your stuff in, wondering, is this going to be a bad experience? Come on, somebody. People have a fear of marrying the wrong person, of going into partnership. You know why people go into partnership? Because they have to. They don't have the money to do it on their own. If they had the money to do it on their own, they wouldn't partner with nobody because partnership is risky. But when you go into partnership with somebody, people have a fear. Is this person going to do right? As we tie our business and our funds together, how can I know in advance, Fabriel, if this person is going to turn their back on me? Are they going to stab me in the back? How can I know if a person is trustworthy? How can I know a person before I get in bed with them, before I get into agreement with them, before I get into partnership with them, before I make them a leader, before I hire them to do a job? How can I know before I get into a long-term situation, a person? And y'all, most of the people in here, we don't know. A lot of our people, we haven't discovered it. We live life episodically. We have drama-filled situations. It's always drama. Somebody did this or did that, and we can't trust nobody and all that kind of stuff. And one of the reasons is we haven't learned the key to knowing a person's character. Reactions are one of the most important things that you can observe from a person. Reactions are important to discerning a person's true character. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. A spontaneous reaction cannot be faked. A spontaneous reaction cannot be faked. And, you know, you can tell a lot about people by a spontaneous reaction. Now, I work around all kind of cultures. I work around my own culture, Zayna, and I work around other cultures. I've never walked up on somebody from my culture and they got afraid. You frightened me. Never, not one time. Not one time. I've been working in a certain field for 20-some years. I've never walked up on somebody of my skin color and, you scared me. But I have walked up on some other cultures. Hello? Be coming around the corner, come to, you scared me. You're so tall. Is that what you're going to say? I'm tall? You're so handsome. I scared you with my looks. What scared you about this big tall man? Hello? Was it my melatonin? My whatever y'all call it? Melanin? Was it my skin color? A spontaneous reaction cannot be fake. Somebody say amen. Wise people watch for reactions constantly. You can know a person's character by watching their reactions. Here's another strong statement. You can only know people through their honest reactions. You can only know a person, not by what they're saying, but by their honest reactions. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's repeat that. You can only know a person through their honest reactions. What are their reactions? Yo, I'm giving people gifts. What's their reaction to a gift? You know, there are two major reactions to a gift. Either a person, you give them something and they are grateful, or they're guilty. I gave somebody something one time. I gave them it was a pretty nice piece of money, and just celebrating them or whatnot. And y'all, they almost all but cussed me out. But I knew that they had been talking about me behind my back. Somebody say amen. That was a reaction. I gave you some money and you got mad at me? Hello? How do you respond to a gift? And we live in a generation where people are ungrateful, unthankful. We've taught our children, and we know that there's a wedding coming up. Somebody say amen. Amen. Go ahead and buy your thank you cards now. Somebody say amen. Amen. We've had graduations and graduation parties and all kinds of stuff. Our children had graduations and people gave them all kinds of stuff. Hey, man, get your thank. I can't tell you how many times. Did you send the thank you card? Did you send your thank you cards out? Did you send the thank you cards out? Because my mama told me people don't have to be nice to you. Somebody say amen. Nobody owes you anything. And so you should have a lifestyle of giving thanks. Somebody say amen. We've had people in this ministry that we have tremendously blessed. We've learned, you know, we're 11 years old now. You learn some things. Somebody say amen. People that walked in the church with nothing, walked out of here with thousands of dollars. Is that true? Walked out with thousands of dollars, never heard from them again. What's your reaction to a gift? Somebody say amen. What's your reaction to a gift? What's your children's reaction? You got to teach your children to react with what? Thanksgiving. Somebody say amen. When you watch people, you watch their reaction to pain. You watch their reaction to greatness. We talked about singles that are looking to, you know, find their mate and whatnot. What's their reactions? Come on, somebody. Amen. What's their reaction to movie times? Hello? You know, the movie start at 3 o'clock, and they still getting ready at 2:50. Hello? Babe, we got to be at the movie. It might not be a deal breaker, but you just got to know, you'll never see the previews. Come on, somebody. You won't be able to buy the popcorn. Then you're going to miss some of the movie because their reaction to time. Somebody say amen. Watch, you know, and even in our book, Waiting Day to Make, watch their reaction to disappointment. Hello? When something don't go right. Huh? He hitting his fist through the drywall? Hello? Because the pizza people say they didn't have pepperoni tonight. Oh, you think you might want to reconsider? Hello? But I'm going to tell you, how many women say, yeah, Pastor, but he okay when, as long as he take his medicine. Well, if that's what you want to do, somebody say amen. But notice the reaction. Somebody say amen. Are y'all still with me here today? What's a person's reaction to greatness? This is another thing that I observe. You know, you get people, and you know, a lot of times I've been around very famous people, and then sometimes you bring a person with you. And I've had to even coach family members and stuff like that. So, hey, when you get around great people, somebody say amen now. Amen. Hey, man, be quiet. Don't hog the conversation. Don't be talking a whole bunch. Somebody say amen. Some people get around great people, they just talking a mile a minute. Somebody say amen. That's protocol. Somebody say amen. What's your response when somebody has money? What's your response to, and just watching the reaction, what's your response to the blessing of somebody else? Uh-oh. Hello? How do you react to somebody else's blessing? You know, we talk about it all the time. Them bridesmaids, y'all seen them bridesmaids pictures? They're horrible. They try to smile. They be trying to smile, but they jealous. They wish it was them. Come on, somebody. What's your response to somebody else? And we told you, if you can thank God for what God did for somebody else, he's no respecter of person. He'll do the same thing for you. How many of y'all ever seen me dance with somebody over their blessing? You ought to become the dance partner of the next person that gets blessed, because surely Caesar said, I'm next in line. Instead of getting jealous. Somebody say amen. Boy, this is better than y'all saying amen. Once you discover the character of a person by observing in their reactions, understand that you can't change their reactions and you can't change their character. You can force people into a fake reaction, but not their true spontaneous reaction. And once you discover it, only God can change their character. God can change characters. But reactions reveal what a person truly values, what they envy, what they're jealous of, future employability, marriability, amen, their reactions. Hello, we talked about it. One of the greatest things you can do, if you're a single Christian in here, one of the greatest things you can do in finding out if you want to be with a person is bring them to church. You know, how many of y'all know we're a spirit-filled church? So when they come in our church, they're going to experience the presence of God. What is their reaction to the presence of God? Everybody standing up, lifting their hands. They sitting down with their arms folded. Hello? That's a reaction. Hello? I seen people bring the dude in, and he sitting up there mean mugging the pastor the whole service. Bro, I don't know you. Come on, somebody. I ain't did nothing to you. What you mad at me for? Somebody say amen. Amen. But you ought to be able to know people through their reactions. And once again, God knows us through our reactions. Our character is revealed by our reactions. Somebody say amen. And we talked about it, and today we're going to focus in on that first reaction. We are not finished, but y'all, I'm going to tell you, we're not thankful enough. The first reaction we should have when God does something is to be truly thankful. I was laid out on the floor here earlier this week, and I told God, and for those of y'all don't understand, this is a 4.5-acre campus. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all said, we came to see the new building. No, this is not just a building. This is one of three buildings. Somebody say amen. This is a 4.5-acre campus that God has blessed us with, worth over $4.5 million that we got for $1.3 million. You ought to give God some praise. And this part of the building, this building is only half of this building. The porcherine is only half. Somebody say amen. And I was laying on the floor and I said, you know, because sit down, you know, you can ask God for anything. Mary said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it for her. You know what I asked God for? This is a true story. This week I was laid out worshiping God and praying in here. I said, God, I said, Holy Ghost, give me the mind to
to take all of this in.
Expand my mind. I can't take it in. I can't understand. It's incomprehensible. I say, Lord, give me the mind. Expand my mind that I'll be able to take it in. And give me the heart full of thanksgiving that I can thank God, commiserate, worthy of what he's done in this moment. I don't want to skip over it. I don't want to forget about it. I don't want to get used to it. Lord, I just want to be full of thanks. That's what I pray for. Somebody say amen. Amen. When God comes through y'all, what should you do? Be thankful. Now y'all, I'm gonna pick on somebody in heaven, but when I go to heaven, I'm gonna have a conversation with them. If the Lord let me have a conversation. Now you know, the Lord is very detailed. The writers of the Bible are detailed. So when the man turned back, the one, he turned back and said, thank you, right? The Bible detailed exactly what he did. He lifted up his voice. He turned around. He worshiped. And he said, thank you. The Bible's very detailed. I've been thinking about some different other people, Natalie. You know, Lazarus was dead 4 days. I can't get over this. He was dead 4 days. He started to stink. He was in the tomb. They had to unleash him, loose him and let him go. That's T.D. Jakes' favorite message, right? Loose him and let him go, okay? They loosed him, let him go. Jesus raised him from the dead. All the maggots stopped eating his flesh. He got brand new flesh. Whatever killed him and caused him to die in the first place, Jesus healed him of it. And we don't hear that Lazarus laid down on the ground and began to thank God with a loud voice. As a matter of fact, all we hear is that Jesus shows up again and he goes to dinner with Lazarus. But I was asking my son, what did Lazarus say to Jesus up there? All right, man, we'll see you later. Cool. Because not only do you have thanksgiving, but you have to show appreciation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Like you can tell somebody thank you all you want to, and you living in their house and ain't paying no rent, but you don't wash no dishes and you don't clean up and you don't cook no meal. No, you ought to show some thanksgiving. And I say, God, I say, Lazarus, like, you know, it didn't say, and then Lazarus, you know, Jesus had a 13th disciple. Like, if Jesus had raised me from the dead, y'all, Jesus couldn't have got rid of me. I've been everywhere Jesus was, man. Said, Jesus, I just want to thank you one more time because I was dead. We don't hear about Lazarus at the cross. He wasn't at the cross. We don't hear about Lazarus at the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell. The Bible said, what was Lazarus doing? And I just want to know, I'm not saying Lazarus wasn't thankful, but what about the one with the issue of blood? She had bled out. Come on, somebody. All her life, she bled out. And y'all, she was so unthankful, she didn't even want to let Jesus know that she got healed. She was afraid. Some of y'all are fearful. Some of y'all are fearful to tell your testimony. Some of y'all are fearful to come up here with a mic and say, God did this for me, and I just want to say thank you. You let fear take it out your mouth. But I wish I had three people that ain't ashamed to call his name and jump up and say, God did it for me, and I want to say thank you. Sit down. These people? What about blind Bartimaeus? What about the man that was born blind? Come on, somebody. It didn't say none of them fell down and said thank you. None of them. None of them. You think about all the miracles Jesus did. What about coming out the funeral and Jesus raised that That woman's son up from the dead. Didn't say she just fell down and say thank you. But y'all, I'm getting ready to close. Listen to this. So, in Luke 17, what we just read, it refers to the 10 lepers. But I want to give you some context and we're going to get out of here. In the Bible, leprosy can refer to a number of skin diseases, but in its worst form, it was known as Hansen's disease. This awful disease takes on two forms. Both start with either white or pink discoloration of a patch of skin. The more benign form, or the lesser form, is limited to skin discoloration in a number of places. And even untreated cases will heal from 1 to 3 years on their own. But then there is a description of the second kind, the worst kind of progression. And it may begin with little nodules that begin to ulcerate or create ulcers. The ulcers develop a foul discharge. The eyebrows fall out. The eyes become staring. The vocal cords become ulcerated, and the voice becomes very hoarse. The breath begins to wheeze. The hands and the feet also develop ulcers. Slowly, the sufferer becomes a mass of ulcerated growths. The average course of this kind of leprosy is 9 years. So it's 9 years of degeneration by this disease. Are you following me? And it's a slow, suffering, painful disease. Slowly, the sufferer ends in mental decay and a coma and an untimely death. Leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some sorts of the body. The nerves of the trunks are affected. The muscles slowly waste away. The tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows another ulceration of the hands and feet. Then comes the progressive loss of the fingers and the toes until the end of the whole hand or whole foot may drop off. The duration of leprosy is anything from, this kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years. It's a kind of terrible progressive death in which a man dies inch by inch. While the physical disease was horrible, the terrible social consequences in ancient Israel were only added to the misery. According to Josephus, lepers were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. The Mosaic law described that a person be cut off from society, including his family. He had to wear torn clothing, have his head uncovered and shaved, cover his lips and shout, "Unclean, unclean," wherever he went, to warn others to keep their distance. So when Jesus healed the 10, and the one man came back and said, "Thank you," that's why he was thanking him. When he came back and fell on his face, that's the condition by which Jesus had healed them all. Somebody say amen. What should you do when God comes through? Step number one, be thankful. Somebody say amen. And then go ahead and be grateful. Come on, somebody. And then go ahead and show forms of appreciation. I wrote in my notes, your thanks ought to be commensurate with what God did for you. Somebody say amen. You remember when the woman came with the alabaster box and Pharisees were were indignated at the fact that Jesus was allowing a woman who was a sinner to wash his feet and with her tears and to put oil on his feet. And they say, don't you know she's a sinner? And Jesus told them, says she has been forgiven much. And those that are forgiven much, love much. And those that love little are forgiven little. Somebody say amen. I wish I had three people in here that could reflect on what God has forgiven you of. Come on, somebody. You might not have had physical leprosy, but you had spiritual leprosy. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You wasn't fit to live. Come on, somebody. You were too bad to live and wasn't fit to die. But God had mercy on you. You remember the things you used to do, the things you used to get involved in, the people you used to lay down with, the people you used to rise up with, the people you used to rob people with and do all sorts of things with. But God, he forgave you. Yes, he did. The leprosy was decaying. Oh, it began to stink. People began to see what you was doing. At the beginning of your addiction, you could still hold your job. At the beginning of the alcoholism, they still let you come in. But it got worse and worse. You lost your job. You lost your family. You lost your friends. You lost your marriage. But God forgave you. God, he healed you. Well, I'm not going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about me. For I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. When mama couldn't help me, daddy couldn't help me, mama alone couldn't help me. God, he forgave me, he cleansed me. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Save someone like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Hey, I want to take it a little higher. Said I wouldn't make it, but he's been good. People turned their back on me, but he's still good. Got stabbed in the back so many times, but he's still good. He's still good. Hey, I want to take it a little higher. If you know God's been good to you, if you know God's been good to you, you ought to give him some praise. Yes. his hands. Thank you. They spiked his feet. Thank you. They pinched him in the side. He hung there. He died. Lord, I just want to say thank you. They buried him. But 3 days later, he got. Some praise.